Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Well, here we are again.
We're back.
I'm here with Noah Chant.
Special guest.
How you doing?
Good. Been a busy day.
Yeah.
Busy day.
Yeah. So. Good.
Super excited.
I thought it would be fun to keep talking about prayer.
Yeah. Great.
You know, we mentioned last episode that it's not really just like a one episode topic.
It's not. And I think too, you know, and this isn't in any way bragging, but I do want it to be known that like there is no precursor conversations we have before this really. Like I don't ever want people, like when you say we're going to talk about prayer, like, and go into things, it's not like I'm like, for sure, wink. Right. Like we really don't have any, like we don't plan this out. You know what I mean?
You just walk in and sit down, and I'm like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. You're like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's go. And so I'm not saying people should be impressed with us. I'm just saying they should be a little impressed with these episodes because we don't plan this out.
Yeah.
And so because I feel like when you say that, people are like, sure. Yeah, he didn't know it was on this today.
Yeah.
It's like, well, not really.
Yeah, like we have a whole script.
Yeah. Like every word we're about to say has been predetermined.
I did want to share a story. Last week, you mentioned that Jesus' role as our intercessor.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of what he does nowadays. Mm-hmm. He's our intercessor.
Yeah. And chief job.
And I was thinking about, and this was probably 2 years ago at this point. And I think if I had to give credit for a person who taught me about Jesus being an intercessor, I think it'd be Nora.
Sweet thing.
She is 5 now. At the time, it must have been at least 2 years ago. I bet she was 3.
Sure.
And what you and Bailey, I can't wait for you guys to have experiences like this too, but you'll find that.
Yeah. Benjamin's won't be into praying too much, but sure. He's more of a modern day Christian.
But there's something, and Crystal and I talked about this on our episode, but there's something really fun about seeing kids activate their, you know, there's just this built-in innate sense of spirituality in kids.
Yeah.
We're wired for connection with the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah.
And it's really fun to see that come alive in kids.
Sure.
Before they've been burdened by religion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or before it's a job. You know what I mean? When it's joy and pleasure.
Right.
And it's not, I have to do this not to die and go somewhere evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was probably 2 years ago, and I had like a cut on my arm. And our girls are always like so concerned when we've got like any kind of little cut or like any kind of boo-boo.
Sure.
You know, especially now Izzy is like, she gets real concerned, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nora at the time was kind of looking at my arm and kind of asking me what happened. And I was like, I honestly couldn't tell you how I got this cut on my arm. And, you know, we'd been teaching her just about like praying for people. And I was like, would you pray for my arm? She was like, yeah. And so I had her put her arm or her hand right over my arm, right where the cut is.
Yeah.
And she just kind of stood there and looked at me. And I kind of waited a minute. I was like, you're going to pray for me? And she looked at me and she goes, no, Dad, Jesus is praying for you.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay.
Little too deep for me, Nora. Right. Little too deep for me.
I was looking for a cute moment here. Yeah. Not for you to turn my theology upside down.
Yeah, she savaged you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, like, listen, if that's not let the little children come to me.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow.
Yep.
What a moment.
Yeah.
And a thought.
Yeah, she does stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know what to do with you right now.
You could definitely tell none of your Presbyterian roots made it into her. She's been freed. That is wild, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's fun to see kids be like spontaneously supernatural.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Sometimes I wonder where the brain and the mind and the heart would go organically if we listened to the Holy Spirit, read the Bible. And I'm not saying we should always do this, but it's interesting seeing a kid who predominantly when they're little read the Bible and start beginning a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and they don't have a lot of teaching yet.
Sure.
So they're just going off what the Spirit's telling them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder if we get overbogged. Sometimes I can do more listening to teachers than listening to the Spirit. Go through two podcasts, go through three messages, go through, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think it's been the downside of social media, where back in the day, like, your local body was where you got your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not about, like, me as a leader saying that. I'm saying as a person, like, your local body, your local leader, your the head of your house was where you got your info.
Yeah.
It's where you built your thing. And then after that, you had to go get the rest from you. Mm-hmm. There was books and stuff, but at the end of the day, a lot of that was you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to hear this, and you get to hear three other Sunday messages on Monday. Then on Tuesday, there's seven podcasts you get to listen to, you know, depending on your topic of choice, whether it's prophetic or demonic, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by Friday, you've listened to, you know, every form of ministry that's being released throughout the United States of America.
Yep.
You know.
And throughout that, you've read 300 quotes on Instagram and Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Like, and this isn't I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm being honest, and I find more new books now are quotes from other people's books.
Sure.
It's like, well, I mean, I'll go read that book. If you're going to quote it six times, I'll just go read that book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and I it's amazing. You see Nora, like someone that goes like, well, Scripture says he intercedes on my behalf and on your behalf. So he's praying.
Yeah.
He's doing the job, Dad. Like, relax.
Well,
like, I know you've seen Bethel, you know, healing rooms, but I've been reading the Gospels. You know, it's not a bad thing on anyone.
No, no.
It's not what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean? It's wild to see how much maybe sometimes I think sometimes we overlook the beauty of the local body tied in with the Spirit reveals all truth.
Mm, yeah.
Those two tied in things together. Because I've even found some stuff is amazing revelation and some stuff is amazing format and activities and ministries, whatever it is, not for my region, my city, or my people.
Mm, sure.
I've gone to churches and thought, this is amazing. This ministry here is amazing.
Yeah.
It's not for us.
Yep.
It's what the Lord told them to do.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's so hard because, like, I want to transition to other things, but also I could keep talking.
Yeah, I know.
We could rabbit trail real hard.
I know. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will say, to dig us a little deeper, it is another point of prayer. And I heard someone say this, I won't say who, to keep anonymity, but someone said, it's amazing how often people are shocked when a leader says we're not doing something. Because when somebody wants to do something, the leader says, well, the Lord didn't tell me to do that. They go, okay, well, let's still do it. Yeah. I want this ministry.
Yeah.
That's great, but like the Lord didn't tell me to start that ministry at this church.
Right.
And it's like, okay, but other churches have it. Okay, but did they have it because Yahweh told them to start it, or do they have it because that's just been the blueprint we've seen for X amount of years?
Right.
And, you know, I think in leadership, you know, and this is for, like, one of the things we've talked about is just entrepreneurs in our house, in your own businesses, and in your own ministries. Don't do something just because it's the blueprint. Do something because Yahweh's told you to.
Right.
Like, you know, there's a reason we don't have a traditional youth group, because Yahweh didn't tell us to have one.
Right.
There's a reason, you know, we don't have certain ministries. It's because Yahweh's not told us to start them.
Right.
We got in when we got into local mission, it was because Yahweh said, now's the time to get into the mission field locally.
Yeah.
In your city.
Yeah.
You know, when we transitioned, we had more traditional style youth, and I feel like Yahweh gave us a moment to say, hey, guess what? Now you get to reset, and I don't want you doing that. I don't want you doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to that.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even to be countercultural.
Sure.
Or against the grain.
Yeah.
It's because it's what he told me to do.
Right.
And I think we get stunned at the lack of things in a church. And then when you say, well, the Lord didn't tell me to do that, people go, well, I don't care about that. Like, this church down the road has two of those, and yeah. I want one. Right. You know?
Yeah.
But it ties into prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And even in your business.
Yeah.
If you have a business model based off someone else and they're doing 10 things, doesn't mean you're supposed to bring all 10 with you.
Yeah.
Maybe five.
Right.
Maybe three. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and I'm going to throw some real shocking theology that a lot of people probably aren't used to. Maybe pray and do what the Lord tells you. And I know that's rare. That's a rare feat we're getting into now. A little bit of rare air. That's old theology, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe pray, you know what I mean? And that's we're talking about prayer, but I think it's, I don't know, I just feel the Spirit on this moment.
Yeah.
To lean into that and yeah. say that this, there's this reality of stop doing things without prayer.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and I don't know why we're going here, but I do.
Yeah.
Stop doing things without prayer.
Yep.
You want to start a business? Pray.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get married? Pray.
Yep.
You want to move somewhere? Pray.
Yep.
You want to start a ministry? Pray. And move when he tells you to move.
Right.
And sit when he tells you to sit.
Yep.
You know, and that's, you know, I don't have anything in mind when I say that.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not trying to say, you know, anything. But it is just, one of the things I've found recently are hearing people make decisions and you never hear the word prayer in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm starting this.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason I am is because I saw this person and they inspired me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But, you know, there's like a God over the cosmos that He really loves you.
And he knows you really, really deeply and intimately.
He knows you well. And he wants you happy, wealthy, and whole.
Yeah.
So why would he not give you the best advice?
Right.
He's not wanting you to do something or us. He's not wanting Be Loved to do something, one, because it's countercultural, or two, just to be different or not be successful.
Mm-hmm.
He's never told me don't do that because this is going to make you guys really unsuccessful.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's this thing of like, I think if we'd have done some of the things we're even doing in missions now with Scott and different things a year and a half ago, they wouldn't have been what they needed to be now.
Sure.
And so things that were needed, but needed to be in their time.
Right. You know? Yeah. I think that the hard thing, I have several thoughts, so we'll see which branch I want to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's leading us somewhere, but we don't know. We'll just follow the wind.
There is something really, really crucial about waiting on the Lord's timing.
Yeah.
I have prophetic words that have been spoken over me beginning like probably 6-7 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
That the Lord wouldn't let me move on until like the last couple months.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've waited for years and I've questioned and I've, you know, and I've wondered and I've looked and I've pondered and prayed and every single time I've even like approached that subject with the Lord, he's like, nope, not yet.
This is Brian's way of saying he's starting a church in Wichita. So if you're interested in joining,
we're going to call it We Love.
Be Love Corporation, not Be Love Company, but Be Love Corporation.
It's totally different.
Totally different vibe than what we got going on here.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Like and you know, just because you know me so personally, and we talk about this a lot, but there are things now moving in my personal life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I hate this term because it sounds dirty, but it's the only word I know to use. There are things moving in my personal ministry that I did not expect to come or, you know, happen. But they started with inklings
mm-hmm.
and impressions from the Holy Spirit and then prayer.
Yeah.
And then deep prayer.
Yep.
You know, and you have to... I think you're right. We fly off the cuff and then we go, oh man, it wasn't successful because it just wasn't meant to be. No, no, no. It was 10 years early.
Sure. Yeah.
You birthed a premature baby.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think even deeper, that's tied to what Yahweh wants to do something different that you don't have a blueprint for. And if you start now,
mm-hmm.
you'll use a blueprint that's already been used and he doesn't want that.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week. The only thing people do when they feel called to ministry is youth pastor and then start a church. That's the model. Youth, young adults, start a church.
Yeah.
You know, that's the model for ministry.
Yep.
You know, and I love that. you know, and I said this last week, and not to brag on you because I don't like doing that, but but I love that your and Katie's call to families was not translated into, well, families go to churches, so we're going to start a church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your call to families was, we have dreams within us, and it actually doesn't interrupt what I'm doing in my local body mm-hmm. with my local leaders.
Yeah.
It only adds.
Right.
It only adds to them. It adds to us. It adds yep. to their wealth because mm-hmm. we're giving back into the house, and it adds to our wealth.
Yeah.
And you can take that however you want. But you know what I mean? That mm-hmm. is the reality of it. But that came through, you know, years of intercession and prayer and waiting for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Okay, I have a couple thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, well, I'll say this. I've got a friend in the Nashville area who is just like an absolute brilliant businessman, marketer, entrepreneur.
It's Garth Brooks, anybody wants to know.
He's my cousin.
He's my cousin. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Brooks.
But every once in a while, I'll just set up a time to talk to this guy and just get advice, you know, marketing mm-hmm. questions, business advice,
yeah.
Everything in that area. He's wonderful.
Right.
And the last conversation I had ended by me just asking him, like, do you have anybody I could be listening to on YouTube? Do you have anybody I could be reading that will start giving me, like, good, you know, like basically, like you said, like start laying a blueprint for me for how I should be developing this.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what he told me? Huh. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you that. He said, because I know you know the Lord. So I want you to just pray to the Holy Spirit because he very well may give you ideas that are better than any ideas that anyone else has
come
given
on.
You.
Yeah.
And he
come
may,
on.
And he may, there may be business strategies.
That's it.
That have worked really well for other people, but the Lord's not calling you to be like everyone else.
Don't work for you.
And so he may have a very specific plan for you.
Yes.
And so you don't need to just be a copy of what, you know, the world is doing, but actually just consider.
Fully be you.
Yeah.
Fully be Brian.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, I think if you were to even from a simplistic level, like my spiritual father is Mark Casto, and if you were to go to his church, the Shepherd's Tent, we have similarities and then drastic differences.
Sure.
And that's not out of trying to be alike or trying to be different. It's, I'm called to Chattanooga.
Yeah.
He's called to Covington.
Yep.
The region, the people, mm-hmm. the blueprint is different.
Yep.
And I can't lean into what he's doing. I have to lean into how he leaned into the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
That's what I'm gleaning.
That's what you want to copy.
That's what I, yeah. Yep. I want to copy his pursuit of presence, not his pursuit of, yeah. of church.
Yep.
You know, and I think there is so much innovation lost because of a lack of prayer.
Sure.
Yeah. Innovation and creativity dies, I think, in the Christian world at a lack of prayer.
Yep.
You know, and there's just this inability to be original because I think, and I don't know if it's COVID or social media or what, I think it's not laziness. I think there's just a lack of desire to pioneer.
Hmm.
I don't want to pioneer something new. I want a piece of the pie that exists.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it sounds easier.
It does. And oftentimes
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
It's just the nature. Yeah. I don't need to pioneer something because this is already working.
Yeah.
And if I can go grab 10% of the market share of what that is, mm-hmm. that's more than enough for me and my family.
Yeah.
And I think Yahweh's actually most of the times calling us to pioneer.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be in anything from television to art to,
yeah.
you know, maybe not multi-level marketing because that's from, you know, the devil, but no, I'm just kidding. you know, whatever that is, you know, I think Yahweh's calling us to be more creative than we're allowing ourselves to think we can be.
Yeah.
And to pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of the things even Yahweh's told me about B-Love is quit thinking of plant, like church mm-hmm. plant. Mm-hmm. Think of pioneer.
Yeah.
You're pioneering something in the city and the region. And I think you can take it all the way back, you know, to the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, for you history buffs, coming to America and not being super successful and people going, well, we're not going back there. But someone goes, no.
Yeah.
Like, there's land to cultivate.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yep.
We just need a group of people that are willing to wait out the harsh winter
yeah.
and stay.
Yep.
And I think, you know, a lot of people are being called into that of the land is plentiful.
Right.
Just get through the winter.
Yep.
Just stay.
Yep.
And watch what you can do if you'll stay and harvest, build a home, yep. build crop. Watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is becoming a lost thing. And I think it's why our voice has been lost in society and in, you know, the current modern day culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're just a carbon copy of things we've been doing for years.
Yeah.
There's no pioneering.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when Jesus talks about the difference between a man who builds his house on the rock and the man who builds his house on the sand.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if, you know, if it's most people or it was just me, but, you know, I kind of thought about that, you know, with the wise man builds his house on the rock and the foolish man builds his house in the sand. Well, the difference between those two that Jesus says is that the wise man is simply the man who listened and obeyed.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And the foolish man who built his house in the sand, well, he didn't listen, he didn't obey.
Right.
And, you know, and right. So it's hearing and obeying is what sets us up for success in
life.
It
is, yep. And it builds with us an internal trust to do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Every time I listen and obey, it builds something in me that I know it's going to keep working and keep doing it and keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's the reality of the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the kingdom principle.
Yep.
You know, that builds a trust in you and with him, and then you really find that sweet spot of cultivating.
Yeah. And that's the thing about trust is, you know, and I think this is true of every relationship with people and even with the Lord, in that trust, it takes time and it takes experience to build.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we have a hard time trusting the Lord in the areas of our lives that we've not allowed him the opportunity to prove himself faithful.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I didn't really trust him with my finances before he asked me to do some scary financial moves.
Yeah.
And it put me in a position to where I can either listen and obey and I can become like the wise man, or I can say, no, I'm good. Yeah. You know?
Right.
But the more you do those things, the more you take him up on his offer, that's how trust and faith gets built up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. It's the more you take, you go, oh, so this does work.
Yeah.
And he does care.
Yep.
You know, and he does actually want this to be successful.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we lie to ourselves and believe he's wanting us to do things just to see if we'll do them. And he doesn't really care about the end result. It's like, well, Lord, you're telling me to do this just to see if I'll listen, and you don't really care how this finishes out. No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No.
Yep.
You know, and like, I think the beauty of Jesus telling Peter that he was going to deny him three times was that before he could do it, Jesus knew, and he never not let him be apart. And two, he restored him after, and Peter fully knew that even before Peter did it, he was going to abandon Jesus.
Yeah.
Some people can see that scripture and go, man, it's harsh to say that to Peter.
Hmm.
Or you can see that scripture and see it as love and say, hey, I've known the whole time you were going to leave.
Yep.
And I've planned the whole time to restore you.
Yeah.
And you're going to deny me three times, then I'm going to ask you if you love me three times.
Yeah.
And you're going to be right back where you're supposed to be. You know, like that is it, man. And I think he cares about the destination. And so quit thinking, we have to lose the perverted mindset that like, oh man, he's having me do this just to test me.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's a part of it.
Sure.
But it's unto something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's unto something.
Yeah. I think he's always developing and cultivating and building. And,
yep.
You know?
Yeah. And I even think that, you know, like there are people, whether it be spiritual sons or whatever it is, that there are people that have had businesses that have failed, churches or thing, whatever it is that have failed. But what it built in them to depend solely on the Father.
Hmm.
It's worth that.
Yeah.
And whatever's going to come.
Yeah.
Because something's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's unwise to read scripture and not see yourself as successful living under the shadow. You know, Psalm 91 says, you know, those who abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you know, have nothing can happen to them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think there's this thing of, like, but in those seasons, you can see it as, man, that was a failure, or, man, I've learned dependability on him I've never had.
Yeah.
You know, and I had fun along the way, probably, in sometimes.
Yep. Yep. I have found that the more opportunity I give the Lord to prove himself faithful to me, and the more trust is built between us, that the way I pray changes.
Mm.
In that I'm finding that I think there's a really, really big difference between praying like a son who knows he's a son and praying like an orphan who feels like he's poor and has to beg.
They're begging their father to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one verse sticks out to me. This is James, in James 5. It says, depending on the translation you read, it says something to the effect of the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective.
Uh-huh.
You know, the prayers of a righteous person they are powerful, they are effective in their working, you know?
Yeah.
And one thought I have too, and this is just literally me pondering out loud now, maybe you'll have a thought, is that I wonder if it's just the prayer of a righteous person, or if it's the prayer of a person who knows they're righteous.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Because
that is,
I think,
yeah, wow. That's, yeah.
Because I think that, well, let's consider a few things that Jesus taught his disciples about praying. You know, there were, you know, I think the main story we all remember is them asking Jesus, hey, how do you pray? And he's like, well, here's the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, you know?
Yeah.
But there were other times where he gave little blips here and there, where he would say things like, well, if you ask and believe, Father will do anything.
Yeah, anything in my name.
You know? But that's the key, is if you ask and believe, and you're right, in other times he says, anything that you ask of in my name, I will do.
Yeah.
And I think that belief and faith plays a tremendous role in this. I'll say this, tell me if you agree with this. I think that faith and belief play a tremendous role, not only in the way we pray, but maybe in the outcomes of our prayer as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think the problem a lot of people have is what the faith and belief is in.
Sure.
And I think where we get it wrong is when I pray to him, let's say it's for things, you know, or a situation, my faith and belief is actually not in that he'll answer the prayer. It's the faith and belief in who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And who I now am because of him.
Sure.
And because I believe and have faith that he's a good father who answers prayers, and I have faith and belief that I'm a righteous son that now can ask him anything.
Yeah.
Those get answered.
Right.
My faith and belief is not in, well, he's a God that answers prayers, so hopefully this prayer will be answered.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds so similar,
right?
But they're not. They're on two totally different worlds.
Yeah.
And so when I go to prayer, I'm not looking for answers, I'm looking for conversation.
Yeah.
And the answers will just come.
Sure.
But my faith and belief is in him, because he's who he is.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I've learned in my life, and you may not see it as or people may not see it as helpful, but I was terrible about this in my early 20s. And now that I'm almost in my 50s, no, I'm kidding. But now that I'm in my later 20s, I feel like I've really recognized this. I never let something either that I've prayed for that's been answered go without thanksgiving.
Mm, that's great.
There's nothing on my list that hasn't come true that I don't go, thank you.
Yeah.
And I always make this statement, you are a God that answers prayers.
Yeah. Yep.
You are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how long I had my wife on the list with just the name, my wife.
Right.
And when Bailey came, how awful to miss the opportunity to go, hey, you did that.
Yeah.
You did that, man.
Yeah.
And it didn't take very long.
Uh-huh.
Right. I thought it would take a lot longer than that, and it didn't.
Yep.
And you know, and she was perfect.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and it was a time for me to go, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a God that answers prayers.
Yep.
You always answer. And I think we have had more answers to prayer than we can imagine, and we've never looked at the answers. We just get on to the next one.
Mm.
We've checked that off our box.
Yep.
I've got married. Now I'm going to start praying for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
No. No, go in and do that, because that's what builds the faith in who he is and who you are.
Yeah.
That's what builds that.
Yeah.
That thing of faith and trust. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is in his character now, because I have made the declarations internally. He is that guy that answers prayers.
Yep. And then what happens is the more you practice recognizing and thanking the Lord for who he's been and what he's done for you, the more you start feeling like you are able to thank him, not just for what he's done, but for what you know he's going to do.
And I think
that's a really beautiful expression of faith, is to thank the Lord for providing an answer to your prayer before before you've actually seen the manifestation of that answer.
Now you're playing 3D chess. Brian's on another level. Brian's like, I've been praying. I've been thanking him for prayers answered in 2052. So
get on. 2052 is going to be a good year. Trust me.
the resources have already come.
Yeah.
But
I think, and the Lord has corrected me on this in the past, where I would find myself praying prayers that now looking back feel very orphan-like to me. Because I think they lack a confidence in who he really is and what he'll really do, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
But, you know, I would find myself praying things like, Lord, would you like just please provide for me and my family, Lord? Please protect me and my family. And there was kind of a sense of like, it'd be great if you'll do this. I don't know if you will.
Right.
But yeah. I'm like, here, hey. Like, I don't know, you know, we haven't talked in a while.
Right. I'm a pastor, but please do this right. for me.
To where now I don't find myself asking him to do things that I know he already wants to do. I start thanking him for doing those things. For those things being manifested in the time that I need them to be.
Yeah.
So I don't say, hey, will you please protect and provide for me? I say, Lord, thank you that you are a protector and a provider.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's a total shift of not the wonder of if.
Right.
But the full awareness of already done.
Yep.
You know, it is finished in a sense.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
that statement is big.
Yeah.
It's finished.
Yep.
You know, and that is a whole other level of faith of going, you protect and provide, so thank you.
Right.
You heal me, so thank you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and people can do what they want. I never really pray divine health over me and Bailey. I declare it because it's mine.
Yeah, right.
I don't go, Lord, please keep me from, you know, skin cancer.
Yeah.
I go, I declare divine health over me and my wife, over my wife's womb, over my son, over my family.
Yep.
Because that's what's available to me.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to the ATM and ask for $200.
Sure.
I go pull $200 out of my freaking account. You know what I mean? Like, it's my money.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is a very different thing, what you're talking about, of this whole kind of idea of, like, hey, no, I'm not asking.
Yeah.
I'm believing that it's already been done.
Right.
You know?
You have proven yourself time and time again that it is your heart to be X, Y, and Z for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to beg you to be those things. Like, I wouldn't, like, how, imagine how, you know, you would feel, or I would feel if, you know, Benjamin is, you know, 5 or 6 years old, or Nora comes to me and she starts, like, begging me to, I don't know, like, provide very simple, basic, like, Dad, can I please sleep in the house tonight?
Yeah, can I please have dinner with the rest
could
of you?
Could I please, like, can I eat today and can I sleep in the house?
It's like, what do you mean? Are you psycho? Right.
You know, like, have you known anything different?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and Jesus says it, like, Jesus takes it a step further to say, like, he's clothed the lilies.
Yeah.
Like, he cares about the birds in their nest. What is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, you don't think he cares?
Right. Yeah.
And I think, too, there is an advancement. You know, Paul, or the not Paul, but the writer of Hebrews, whoever that is, you know, when he's talking in Hebrews 5 about moving on into maturity, mm-hmm. I even think there's an advancement in maturity where when the answer doesn't come, it's an invitation into mystery of what the answer will be.
Sure, that's great.
And I think that's where that's you even great. Go a step further.
Sure.
Where you go, man, this prayer wasn't answered, but he answered prayers.
Yeah.
So this is an invitation to the mystery of going, hey, I'm going to reform the question in you and sure. give you the correct answer to the correct question.
Sure. That's really good. I have another thought. Real quick, let's take just a brief pause and mm-hmm. just hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Are you in the market for top-notch packaging solutions? Look no further. Introducing Associated Packaging, your trusted partner in packaging excellence. We specialize in providing high-quality packaging supplies and cutting-edge packaging automation. Our team is dedicated to ensuring your production runs smoothly with our factory-trained service technicians, just-in-time inventory management, and turnkey packaging solutions. Say goodbye to costly downtime. With Associated Packaging, you'll maximize uptime and reduce downtime, boosting your efficiency and profitability. Don't compromise on packaging quality and efficiency. Choose API for all your packaging needs. Call us today at 706-459-9996. Ask for Chad Balistrieri or visit our website at www.associatedpackaging.com. Associated Packaging, where packaging excellence meets innovation.
So, on the thought of, you know, praying like a son
yeah.
versus praying like an orphan, mm-hmm. I was thinking about this too, because you mentioned that one of the things Jesus taught his disciples was to pray in my name.
Yeah.
And I think for most of my life, that became a formula that I would tag at the end of all my prayers.
Even to and in Jesus' name, we say amen.
To this day, I still
pray. I use that like it's, I mean, how do you not? It's like after worship, like the only transition out of worship is to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm convinced there's no transition out of worship that can include give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That is, I swear that probably goes back to the days of the Acts church when they got done in the temple and Jesus said, all right, guys, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. How good was that one, huh? Thanks for Bill on the harp over there. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
And I think, you know, it almost became like... I think maybe when Jesus said that, maybe he meant for that to be more than just like a little tagline or yeah. for like a little formula, you yeah. know. But when I think about praying in Jesus' name, I think that in Jesus' name probably refers more to not just like what to say while you're praying, but to consider your position while you're praying.
Totally. Yeah.
I think in Jesus' name is a statement of position.
I agree. And I think it's a statement of representation.
Yes.
Like, because, you know, like I represent him, mm-hmm. I'm in him, I'm with him.
Yeah.
And so I pray in his name, you know, like at the end of the day, like Benjamin will be his own person, but he's a chant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they see things in him, they won't go, well, that's just his original. They'll go, oh man, he's like his dad, he's a chant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're yeah. loud people.
Uh-huh.
If he's loud, he's going to be a chant. It's the nature of our family line.
Yeah.
And like, I think praying in his name is to say like, yeah, I'm praying in my family's name.
Right.
Yeah. I represent this family.
Right.
This family represents me.
Mm-hmm.
And the authority I carry is the name of Jesus.
Right. I'm actually seated with him.
Yeah.
In heavenly places.
Yeah.
And that is the position I'm praying from.
I'm praying from. You know, even Bill Johnson would make this statement that the greatest form of prayer is if he's interceding with you to align your intercession with his.
Yeah. Hello.
I can't think of a better way to pray for me than what Jesus is praying for me. You know?
Right.
How can you go wrong with that? You know?
He seems like a pretty in tune guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah. The worst part is when you start doing that and he's praying against your insecurities and you're like, ooh, makes me a bit insecure. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, like, yeah, you're right. It's about representation.
Yeah.
It's about understanding who he is. It's not a tag.
Yeah.
It's not a tagline.
Yep.
It's going, when I pray in Jesus' name. Because I'm in Jesus and with Jesus, that means it will be.
Yeah.
You know, and like mm-hmm. even carrying that kind of authority in healing.
Yeah.
you know, like I pray cancer away and it goes away.
Mm.
I pray disease away and it goes away.
Yeah.
It's because of the name I pray in.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. And I think too, I think it's position. And I also think it's, I think it has to do with knowing his heart and knowing what he's after and what he's about. Because I think that when you understand that you're seated with him, that you are co-heirs to the kingdom and that you carry the authority of a person
yeah.
seated at the right hand of God
yeah.
with Christ, when you understand that, when you understand the heart of the person you're representing and his kingdom, all of a sudden your prayers take a much different, that they just become different.
They do.
I'm not. I'm if you come to me and you're like, hey man, I've got something going on, you know, physically, I need healing. Would you pray for me? I've similarly to what we said earlier, I'm not going to start begging Jesus to heal you because he's kind of already shown that that's what he's about. And so,
yeah,
like
I'm not going to beg him to be him.
Right. Any more than I want Nora to beg me to let her sleep in the house.
Yeah, or to be dad.
Yeah.
Like you're not, when she's 7, going to go, hey, I'm Brian now. Like, I'm over this whole dad thing. You're going to have to figure this out. Right. I'm not paying your bills. I'm Brian. Yep. That's what you're going to call me, you know? Like, no, like, your yeah. character to her is father.
Yeah.
And you don't, she doesn't have to wake up every day and go, I hope Brian's still my dad today.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I hope he's still, like, yeah. I hope he's not someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, and I think, too, when you pray out of that, obviously, there's interest. I'm not saying always. I'm not saying this about intercession or, you know, like, you know, deep prayer. But also praying out of authority can also free you from a lot of the show you think you have to have in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, like I always think of there's the person following Paul and heckling him, the person with the demonic spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paul basically turns around and says, that's enough. Get out.
Uh-huh.
And like at no moment does Paul turn around and start, you know, speaking Latin and, you know, put uh-huh. a cross on his forehead and let it burn.
Yeah.
You know, there was an authority there. And yeah. I'm not completely saying that may not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is the authority Paul had was I'm here because of Jesus. And so when I say get out.
Yeah.
You better go.
Yeah. I know who I represent.
Yeah.
I know whose kingdom yeah. I'm an ambassador yeah. of. And here's how it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think there's a place of authority in the kingdom realm where you can walk into a room and things realize it's better for them to go than stay.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I think whether that be, you know, if you want to deep dive into the spiritual realm of the demon or sickness, whatever
sure.
that is.
Sure.
Oppression, anxiety.
Yeah.
It's better I go because if I stay, it's not going to be good for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Paul carried. He turned around and finally said, hey, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
You know, there was no Dominos Christos, you know, like him turning around and spending 45 minutes with this person. Right.
He didn't hit him in the head with a Bible.
Yeah. There was an authority yeah. level there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I think Paul never prayed out of fear of answer. He only prayed out of authority of sonship.
Right. Yep.
Like Paul has the, and it's obviously it's true, but Paul writes stuff like, Paul says, my gospel came from Jesus.
Mm.
Other people are going, hey, this is how I'm interpreting scripture and how I'm seeing this thing. Paul goes, no. My gospel came from Jesus himself.
Right.
Yeah. What type of man do you have to be, even though
yeah.
the road to Damascus is well documented, what man do you have to be to walk around? Like, what honestly, what would someone say if I got up and said, hey, guys, I want you to know everything I'm saying tonight is directly from Jesus himself. There'll be no questions on this tonight, you know, and like, but there's an authority there, which is not humility. You
know, right.
You're not lacking humility in that.
No.
But the most humble thing you can do is fully be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pray like you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think poverty prayer is a well thing built into the church now.
Sure.
This poverty mentality in prayer that we're not worthy to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing like Jesus.
Yeah.
How am I not worthy to pray?
Right.
Why would he not answer my prayers? There's right. 66 books of him answering prayers.
Yeah. Right. You know, there's that verse. I didn't catch this until recently. There's that verse that people love to quote. You know, we can boldly approach the throne.
Yeah.
Well, the next two words are really important.
No, Brian.
You can boldly approach the throne of grace, yeah, is what it says.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think we...
Then it goes on to say, with your request.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
With your request.
Yep.
You get to boldly approach and go, this is what I want.
Yep. But, and this, what I'm about to say, we need to be careful because we could go really far down this trail.
Sure.
And I know one day we will. These episodes are coming. So yeah. let's contain ourselves for now.
We're doing director's cuts, like the 4-hour director's cut of community conversations.
But it says that you can boldly approach the throne of grace. And how often do Christians treat the throne as if it's not a throne of grace, but it's a throne of maybe performance?
Mm.
In that, if it's the throne of grace, what do we know about grace? We know that grace is actually the thing that empowers me to be everything that he says I can be.
Yep.
But oftentimes, we don't approach the throne as a person who is positioned in grace. We approach the throne on the basis of how well do I think I've performed well enough to make this request?
Right. Right.
Right. And
yeah,
so,
it's like, oh man, I hope I've, you know what yeah, I mean? Right. I've spent all January fasting.
Yeah.
Now it's time to ask for this raise.
Right.
Now it's time to ask for him to fix my marriage.
Yeah.
I've done all the journaling I can now. Yeah. Now it's time to say, okay, Lord, fix my marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, I read my Bible every day this week, so yeah. I feel good enough to go approach the throne and yeah. see if maybe he'll take a request yeah. from me.
And I think even the word throne is a hard word for us because I think we have still a bit of a hurt, perverted relationship with authority.
Sure.
So I think when we approach the throne, we think of authority, and authority we don't like.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like.
You know, the modern day, and I hate constantly using the word church, the modern day person doesn't yeah. do authority.
Yeah.
You don't have bosses anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have, yep. and I talked about this, I don't think it was the last time, but the time before that. As a believer, I will live by this statement for the rest of my life. If there is not a leader, a spiritual father, a person in your life that has the authority to tell you yes or no on situations or anything in your life, and that be the final answer to you, mm-hmm. you are living in a state of lawlessness.
Yeah.
If there's no one that can say, hey, I'm thinking about leaving my wife, no. Yeah. Hey, I'm thinking about starting this ministry and moving here, no.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no one that can do that and you go, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Then you are living in lawlessness.
Sure.
Yeah. You are living, the whole church, Paul has an encounter with the living Christ.
Uh-huh.
Spends 10 years in the mountains of Tarsus.
Yep.
Which during, he says, he encountered the third heaven and things he couldn't speak of. Then comes back to the disciples and says, here's what I'm thinking. Are you guys okay with this?
Right. Does this sound like it lines up with the gospel? Yeah.
And they go, well, that doesn't even make any sense to us, but go for it. It was above what they were thinking.
Right.
But Paul probably knew walking in like, these guys aren't me.
Yeah.
In a healthy way. Yep. But he knew.
Mm-hmm.
But he walked in and submitted to the authority of other people that he was recently trying to kill and disagreed with.
Yeah.
Who didn't know him and were a little unsure.
Mm-hmm.
The early church was not exactly ecstatic about Paul at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
like right. once a snitch, maybe always a snitch. Like,
right.
Let's wait and see what happens
yeah,
here.
Yeah, like guys, let's not forget what he was doing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so like Paul refused to ever live in lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
He always submitted to what, and he would always send a portion of his offering, a portion of his message, and a portion of himself back.
Yeah.
To submit to authority.
That's so good.
And I think even when we approach the throne, we go, I don't like approaching the throne because there's authority there and I don't want to be told something.
Right. Yep.
But it's because you don't understand that authority is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like authority is a, you know, there are things I've wanted to say from a pulpit that my father has said no.
Sure.
And looking back, I go, that was a good call.
Sure.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
There are things we have not done as a church, as a team. There are things you've probably not done
mm-hmm.
in personal things or with the school or whatever it is, maybe because of something my father has said.
Sure. Yeah.
And you look back, you go, that was a good call.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I think like, when we approach, we have to understand, one, we have the grace to fully approach,
mm-hmm.
and we can be there. And also it's a good thing that that is an authority.
Right. Yeah.
And when we approach with our request, be happy with the answer.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I do think that we need a tremendous mind shift around authority, because you're right. Authority is, it is so necessary.
It is.
Because if you think about authority in its intended purpose, I would say that, you know, the purpose of authority is to protect, provide, and empower the people that you are, you know, that are under your authority. And so there is safety in being under authority.
There is.
You know?
Yeah, because in the same sense, it can be harsh. It's also, you're right, there's also a blanket of protection.
Yeah.
Where I can go, actually, you can talk to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like eventually, something could reach a point where I go, hey, you're going to have to talk to Mark.
Sure.
Not me.
Sure.
But also in that same sense, like I'm about, you know, I've pilgrimaged a church here. I'm about to have my parents' first grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mark called me tomorrow and said, you need to come to Covington, we'd put our house on the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as that would literally be the worst thing that's ever happened to me, it would feel like.
Yeah.
Because of my friends. And this is my family. This is my house. This is,
right.
I love this place more than probably anyone here.
Mm-hmm.
If he said that, I'd say, great, we'll start working on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to not have someone that has full authority over me.
Yep.
You know, I think my mom would go down and kill Mark Casto, but I would do that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the other side of the coin too, that we need to recognize, is that you have placed yourself intentionally under the authority of a person that you trust, who you trust, who listens and obeys the Lord, and who wants the best for you.
Right.
So you have not positioned yourself under some random guy.
No.
But this is somebody who you know that if he were to call you and say, hey, I think you need to be here in Covington.
Yeah.
That you know that was not a decision he lightly made.
No.
It wasn't a rash thought.
Or just to see, hey, well, Noah will actually do this. Right. You know what I mean?
He's not just messing with you.
Yeah, he's known my family. Yeah. You know, he's known me since I was 15.
Yeah.
And known my family that long. And, you know, and also I see the fruit in his life of the Spirit.
Yeah. And the decisions that he's made having been led by the Spirit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can't want the fruit of a man's life without the submission of that man's life.
Hmm. Say that again.
Yeah, you can't have the fruit of a man's life without having the same amount of submission of that man's life.
That's really good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've seen that man submit.
Yeah.
I watched Mark Casto sell everything he had, move his whole family to Batesburg, South Carolina, which is half the size of Lafette.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Live 3 years with no salary.
Yeah.
And submit under a spiritual father.
Right.
Yeah. And now the fruit has come out of that submission.
Right.
And if you, how dare you want the fruit and not want to submit like that?
Yeah.
How dare you think that that's how it works?
Yeah.
And that probably won't ever happen. Mm-hmm. It may.
Yeah.
You know, my plan's to be here forever.
Yeah.
This is my house forever. That's how I see it.
Sure.
But I'm fully submitted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that is where, you know, approaching, one, I approach with grace in knowing who I am, who he's made me, and that I have the freedom to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I approach the throne because the throne represents authority, and I'm okay with the response.
Right. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Right.
It's good. It should always seem as an exciting thing to submit, because something's going to be cultivated out of submission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that, you know, there are some pretty clear, like, biblical commands to submit to authority. Like, it's there, you know? We're not reaching.
Yeah.
The Bible's got a lot to say. And I've got
It's not an original thought.
Well, two stories come to mind, too. The first is the centurion who approached Jesus.
That's a good one.
I think this gets overlooked sometimes. But what he tells Jesus, he says, you know, it's the whole thing. It's like, well, you don't actually have to come with me. I know that you can, what I'm asking for you to do can be done right here, right now. Mm-hmm. So he says, I'm a man who's under authority, and I have men under me, and I tell them to go when they go.
God, that's
but
good,
what
Brian.
People miss is that it's not just that he is in a position of authority, but he first clarifies that I am a man who is under authority.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the men who are under my authority, they know to go when I say go. Yeah. You know, and you see, yeah. and he draws that distinction. It's yeah. not just that he's the guy.
Right.
But he understands authority.
He does.
And that was his whole thing with Jesus.
And he probably has men under his authority because he submitted to the person he was
right.
under.
Yeah.
right. He's probably thinking, hey, I've got a really nice place.
Yeah.
And it's because the guy above me said, hey, if you'll do this and submit to this and act like this when the emperor comes and do this, you'll move up in the ranks here.
Yeah. Right. And he probably said, yeah, I'll
right.
do that.
I'll do you it. Know? Yeah.
But he understood authority. And that was his approach with Jesus mm-hmm. because he saw Jesus as a man of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so he recognized that Jesus, there seems to be somebody that you're submitted to.
Yeah.
This God you talk about, this Father. Yeah. He's somebody that seems like you're submitted to. And because of that, it seems like when you tell whatever is under you to go, it goes.
Yeah.
And so this sickness we're dealing with, like, could you tell that to go?
Right.
And he's like, oh man, would I love to, you know?
Yeah. yeah. That's,
yeah.
That is a really good one.
Yeah. There's that. And then I think of the story when Jesus was a boy and he stayed back, you know, everyone, mm-hmm. The whole caravan has left Jerusalem. Yeah. They were there for, I forget what festival it was.
Yeah. Somehow they forget the Savior of the world. Go, wait a minute. right. Where's the virgin kid at? know? Where's the one that didn't come from a real person? Yeah, a real you dude.
Know? Yeah. And so he stays back. And you know, it's. I think they had already traveled a good bit. I forget what it says exactly, maybe a day or two.
Yeah.
So they hit. By the time they actually traveled away and then came back, it had been, I think, like 2 or 3 days. And so he's just chilling in the temple. They find him. And when they ask him what he's doing, like, why did he stay back? It's just such a fascinating conversation because he's like, well, don't you know this is my Father's house? And I'm, you know, I'm about yeah. my Father's business.
Yeah.
But then Jesus is confronted with two different things where the Father is telling him to stay and be in the temple, but his earthly parents are saying, hey, we need you to come back with us.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And Jesus models, I think he models, even as a young kid, this incredible submission to authority to where I find that, and it's different. I'm not, you know, it's different with me than it would have been with Jesus.
Right.
But there are times where I might say, I really feel the Father leading me to do something and I could go to your dad, you know, because uh-huh. your dad's my spiritual father. And I would say, hey, here's an idea I've had. Here's what I'm thinking. And if your dad were to say, actually, I don't think that's it. You know what I would do? I would submit to your dad's authority.
And not do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes when people lack spiritual authority in the form of like a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, I think what happens is they assume that everything that I think I'm hearing from everything that I think I'm hearing as the leading of the Holy Spirit must be 100%.
Yeah.
But I think that having a spiritual father, a spiritual mother in place acts as a kind of safeguard to say, well, let me also pray about that.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Well, think about a single bowling alley with bumpers. Think of how much autonomy there is in the lane.
Yeah.
How far left the ball can go, how far right the ball can go.
Yeah.
You can have bumpers up and still only hit a pin.
Sure.
But the bumpers are there to go, no.
Yeah.
A little to the right. No. Mm-hmm. A little to the left.
Yeah.
They constantly bring you in. And that's what I find, that's what that does.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes with hard answers. You mm-hmm. know, there's two examples. The yeah. one, the guy gets freed from the demon and he goes, hey, I'm ready. I'm going to follow you. I'm with you. He's like, no, you're going to stay here. The guy's like, no, I think I'm going to go with you guys. And Jesus is like, no, you're staying here.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell everyone what happened.
Yeah.
And then you see the other guy that goes, hey, I'm ready to follow you, but I'm just going to go wait for my dad to die. He's like, no, let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
You come on now.
He's like,
no, I'm not going to do that.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was such an example of Jesus going, do you want spiritual authority?
Yeah.
Because here's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. But yeah.
And that even, just to correct some, just while we're here, let's correct some theology.
Okay.
Just because we're here, we're cooking with gas right now. Also, examine the heart of Jesus in that scripture, because what the man was saying was not, let me go to my dad's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let me go collect my inheritance.
Mm.
Understand that. Jesus' heart towards that was not, oh, your dad's about to die, let him die alone.
Right.
Give up everything for me.
Yeah.
What the man was saying is, I want to follow you, but like, I'm going to do it on my budget.
Sure.
So I'm going to go home, I'm going to collect my inheritance, get all the money, mm-hmm. and then I'll come, I'll be safe.
Yeah.
Jesus says, no.
Wow.
Submit now and follow me.
Yeah.
And let your inheritance wait.
Yep.
And so I just, wow. I want people to understand the
That's
heart
really
behind
good.
That. Yeah. He wasn't going back yeah. for a funeral. Yeah. He was going back for a check.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, no. And I think authority sounds great until it comes with that. Either way.
Right.
Either come mm-hmm. or stay.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. some people say, I feel called to go do this. No, you need to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Or it's, hey, I'm coming. I want to do this. No, you actually need to, or yep. I want to come, but I want to go back. No, come now.
Sure.
And that's where people, mm-hmm. it's a hard thing, but it's those bumpers, man.
Yep.
And you can say, well, you can make all kind of excuses, but it's been the church model since Acts chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
It's actually been the church model since Matthew chapter 1, verse 1.
Right, yeah.
Jesus modeled it. It's yeah. actually been the model since, you know, 1 Kings.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's been the model for Elijah
yeah.
and Elisha. It's been right. the model for Moses.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Joshua. It's uh-huh. been the model for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's been the model for David and, you know, or Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. It's been the model
yep.
over and over and over again.
Yep. Yeah.
So don't say it's like this new confound thing yeah. of trying to pervert submission.
Right.
It's the kingdom.
Right. And don't look at that as us or anybody trying to exert a level of control over people.
Yeah.
Because that's not healthy authority either.
No, it's not.
I don't want to, you know, for anybody who were to be under my authority, it's not about control. It's about,
yeah.
I want what's best for you. So let me help you as
right.
much as I can.
Yeah. I've gotten very few like no's.
Sure.
You know, but when yeah. they do come, I've looked back and go, thank goodness for that one.
Yeah, thank you.
That would have been bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, and the problem is people go, okay, well, who is that person? And this is, once again, we've brought it right back. I'm going to shock you.
Here we go.
Pray.
Bingo.
You should try praying. Praying, find that person, and never leave.
Yeah.
I've been blessed in the river that I'm in to see sons and fathers that have completely different theologies.
Mm-hmm.
That have completely different beliefs on things, that have completely different ways of raising their kids, that have different ways of managing money, that are 100% submitted to each other.
Wow.
100%.
Wow. Yeah.
That will sit in a room every week and go, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my
good.
Dude.
That's good.
Elijah and Elisha had two totally different ministries.
Hmm.
Two totally different
yeah.
callings.
Yep.
They were called to do two totally different things.
Sure.
And yet Elisha learned everything under a father that was doing something completely than he would do in his own ministry.
Yep. Wow, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's the other thing is, it's also not the person that you're most alike.
Yeah. Right.
AKA Brian and my dad.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, two totally different people.
Yep.
And, you know, and like, that's the other thing is, once you've made that decision, it's not, let's test the waters.
Yeah. Right.
You don't get to test the waters with this.
Yeah.
If the Yahweh tells you someone, that's mm-hmm. it.
Yep.
That is it.
Yep.
And I get it. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Marital affair. Things happen that changes.
Sure.
I'm not, you know,
sure.
I'm aware. I'm not yeah. unaware of like.
That's more the exception than the rule.
It is.
Yeah.
You don't, someone doesn't get to say something and you go, well, I don't agree with that, so I'm done with this.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, man.
Yeah.
It's not how it works.
Yeah.
You can disagree.
Sure.
But that's not what submission is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is at all. And yeah. that's where prayer, you want to get serious about prayer life. You need to pray who your spiritual mother is, who your spiritual father. You need to pray who your leader is.
Yeah.
You need to pray where you're called to be.
Yep.
scariest thing in the world is to leave something or someone that you're called to submit to.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what lawlessness ensues you.
Sure. Yeah. And we need to wrap up.
Wow.
Lest, I know, it's over an hour.
That's wild.
I know. you know, when you said that about the bowling alley, you know, with the bumpers and that, I was thinking, I've heard this analogy too, that, you know, fire, you could ask the question, like, is fire a good thing? Depends on the context.
Yeah, it does. So, yeah.
Fire that has boundaries, great thing.
Amazing thing.
Fire with no boundaries is really scary.
Chaos.
Absolute You're chaos exactly and destruction.
Right. And honestly, it's the same with water.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Water literally gives me life.
Yeah.
Too much water around me would literally drown me.
Yep.
That's such a good analogy.
Yep.
You're right. It's that, it's the boundary of who you're defined to be.
Right.
How often, how many times did Paul want to go to, was it Spain? Not Spain. Where do you want to go? He wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
The name's leaving me.
Right.
Anyway, Paul, how many times did Paul want to go there? And God was like, no, you're not. Then he goes, I'm going anyway. And then he blinks and he's back where he started, you know? And God's like, you're not doing it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this is Paul. He should be able to do whatever he wants. No, no, yeah. No. He's a fire, but he's
right.
He's confined to his pit.
Right.
He's yep. living in where he's called to be, what he's called to do.
Yep. Yep. That's good. All right. Well, that'll wrap up this episode.
Awesome.
For our listeners who are in a Beloved community group, I want you to consider what we talked about in this episode, specifically in terms of what it looks like to pray as a son, to pray in a position of sonship versus praying as, you know, having more of an orphan beggar approach. But as you spend time in prayer this week, think about how you're praying and think about whether or not your prayers are being crafted from a position of a person seated in heavenly places who understands sonship and righteousness. And if not, just spend some time with the Lord talking about that and talking to the Lord about what does it actually look like for me to pray and to talk to you and to bring my requests to you and to intercede from a place of authority and sonship. And community leaders, get ready to discuss that in your groups. Any last thoughts, Noah?
Nope. Sounds great. All right.
Well, thanks for listening. We love y'all.
Love you.